You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
I have determined that the Wendy's Baconator and bourbon will be the death of me. How did I come to this conclusion? We'll leave that bourbon comment alone. That's its own vice by itself. I'll just leave it floating out there. But the Baconator, what's transpired just recently, and by recently I mean within the last hour, is that I have been, I'm in visiting Minnesota. Part of my new job is to go visit the people that work for me, and a lot of those people do not work at the same location that I work at, so I have to, you know, make it a point to go out and check out their sites and get to know the production that's going on out there, and then also get to know them a little bit more and their natural environment, if you will. Yesterday I was at one of the locations, and then I drove my rental car to this other city. Drove through a storm last night, and I'm now kind of in the middle of nowhere in Minnesota. But I am in my hotel room. So I go to the office, and I meet the tech that works for me, and she is sick. She's pretty sick, but she stays around the whole day. And what I've been doing was, you know, as I've been staying at the each of the locations, I stay during the evening so that I can take them out to dinner. Try to be a pretty good, you know, supervisor in that regards. So what I was planning to do was take her out to dinner after we get done with work. But since she didn't feel good, she wanted a rain check. Completely fine. That's not a big deal. But after seeing what the choices were for lunch, and kind of looking at my phone at what's available in the area, there really was not much to choose from. And I'm one of the guys that when I'm in an area, I like to explore things that I normally wouldn't eat at home. And one of the ways that I'm successful with that, where I find really great places, is I'll look online to see restaurants that the cooking channel, like Diners, Drive-In and Dive or Man vs. Food, have gone to. I did do that when I first landed in Minneapolis. I'd stopped off to this place called the 5-8 Club and had this hamburger called the Juicy Lucy. And that was fantastic. But now that I'm about an hour south of Minneapolis, there's not a lot of choices. I'm kind of like really in the middle of a cornfield, in the hotel room. And they got a few things that are around. Restaurants that are okay, you know, like there is a Mexican restaurant, there's a Famous Dave's, there's a steakhouse, but, you know, all that just seemed like it was a little too much, and it's not like something I was really interested in any of that. And then over, not too far, right next to a gas station, is Wendy's. So after work, I come back to my room and I start to just kind of like unwind a little bit and get comfortable. And I'm like, well, you know what? I'm still kind of full from lunch, but if I don't have something to eat for dinner, then I'm going to be starving like really late. So I should have something to eat, but I don't want anything too heavy. So that kind of struck the steakhouse out. Wasn't in the mood for Mexican, and barbecue just sounded too heavy to me. So my answer, the Baconator. Now the argument could be made, yeah, that's a pretty heavy duty sandwich with a lot going on, but it's, you know, it topped off the reserves. But every time I have one of those, I think I could eat this every day. These are awesome. This is great. So it's not like I needed anything spectacular to go to tonight. And so I had what in my mouth and taste buds tasted like a great meal, being the Baconator. But because I love them so much, I almost think that, left unchecked, and if I had the means, I would eat the Baconator every night. And I'm sure that's not going to be good for a healthy disposition. So therefore, I truly believe that the Wendy's Baconator and or bourbon will be the death of me. So maybe there's some, you know, group that I can belong to that I can kind of profess my addiction to the Baconator. And maybe you're listening right now. So I think this, the first step in any resolution of a problem is to admit you have a problem. So hello, I'm Dave, and I'm addicted to the Wendy's Baconator. There, I said it.
I'll be okay.
I'm kidding, of course. I'm in the hotel. I do have my microphone, but so you're going to hear probably a different background sound. You know, that's the air conditioner for the hotel. I don't have my regular setup, so I will not have the Google Mini device to help me through the conversation. So if it sounds a little differently or a little odd, I do apologize for that. But let's move on. So let's insert our bumper here.
This is 80 something podcast.
Banzai! Banzai! Banzai!
Banzai!
Hey, where's the meat?
I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals.
Go Ghostbusters!
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other.
Party on, dudes!
Hello, I am Dave, and this is Banzai Retro Club. Thank you for listening and downloading us and checking us out. What I am doing is on RottenTomatoes.com, I had a little while ago found a list of the 1980s essential movies. So this is what the editorial staff had picked for essential movies. This isn't necessarily my pick, but my game plan is that I'm going to go through each one of these movies and put a somewhat of a mini episode out about each one. In some cases they've gone a little bit longer, but typically, I try to keep them around 15, 20 minutes if I can. Then I try to edit in a few stuff, and then you've got maybe a 30-minute episode. But anyway, that's just kind of my mechanics of this. What I'm going to do is, well, first off, I'm going to tell you what the movie is. You would have known by the title. It's episode 101, or not episode 101, but movie 101 on the list, and that's Beverly Hills Cop 1984. So without having Google Mini to tell me a little bit about the movie and give you a synopsis, we're just going to jump right into the trailer.
Eddie Murphy is a Detroit cop on vacation in Beverly Hills.
I just got off the phone with an Inspector Todd in Detroit. He says if you're out here investigating the Tandino murder, you needn't bother coming back.
I don't want to take it anymore.
For a man who claims to be on vacation, you look a lot like you're on a stakeout.
Stakeout? No. I'm picnicking. This is like a picnic area.
I have to ask you some questions about Michael Tandino.
I've never been to a cell that had a phone in it.
Can I stay for a while? Because I ordered some pizza.
We have six witnesses that say you broke in and started tearing up the place, then jumped out the window.
May I help you?
Yeah. I'm looking for Victor Maitland.
I have nothing to say to you.
You just got your badges and your guns and you're on the job, right? Make sure we get the right drinks, because if I drink club soda, I'll throw up.
You know, this is the cleanest and nicest police car I've ever been in my life. This thing's nice in my apartment.
Mrs. Bitch, you are the pride of your department in Detroit.
Seems painfully obvious you haven't the slightest idea who you're dealing with.
I know what y'all think I am, kidding me some kind of fool. Hurry up, quicker!
Crawl back to your little stone in Detroit before you get squashed.
Don't move!
Eddie Murphy, Beverly Hills Cop.
Alright, so, now, this was just a very fun, iconic Eddie Murphy ride. I loved this movie throughout. I love when how it started in Detroit, and he's trying to pass himself off not as a cop, and then all of a sudden he's like the truck's running around and he's in the back being slammed all around. I think they were selling cigarettes, weren't they? I don't remember, something like that. But and he uses line like, I smell pork. And it was hilarious. It was just hilarious, his delivery. He gets in trouble. His buddy comes visiting from Beverly Hills. He ends up getting killed. Then Eddie Murphy's character, Axel Foley, starts to investigate. So he takes some vacation time and goes to Beverly Hills and starts trying to determine why his friend got killed. And all the hijinks that go along with the fun of this movie. Some of the great highlights were when he acted like he was kind of an over-the-top homosexual male to get to Victor Maitland in the country club. It's like, well, I think you should tell him that I was tested and I've got herpes simplex 10 or whatever it was, and it's just hilarious. And he's like, I think you should tell him. He goes, yeah, I think that will be best.
May I help you?
Yes. I'm looking for Victor Maitland.
You realize that this is a members-only club?
Mm-hmm, but I have to talk to Victor. It's very, very important.
Are you sure it's Victor Maitland you want?
Oh, yes, Victor Maitland, the gray-haired gentleman, very dark-skinned, Capricorn, Victor.
Well, why don't you give me the message, and I'll take it to him?
Okay, I guess I can do that. Tell Victor that Ramon, the fella he met about a week ago, tell him that Ramon went to the clinic today, and I find out that I have herpes simplex 10. And I think Victor should go check himself out with his physician to make sure everything is fine before things start falling off on the man.
Perhaps you better tell him that.
You know, I think that would be best.
So do I.
And then, yeah, it was just hilarious. Another funny part was the one where he's in the... the clearance house. I forget what they call it, but the area where all these different packages were being stopped before they went through customs. And he acted like an inspector, and he started giving everybody a hard time in order to get what he needed. You know, I can go on and on. I remember the scene where he's in the strip club with Taggart and Billy. All of a sudden he realizes that, there's somebody that was some bad guys. We're going to, start like a robbery. So he's able to get ahead of it. Another great part was when he gave that story to the captain, and then, the chief gave it to the chief, and then the captain didn't believe the story. And then end up telling him he's got to leave. And oh yeah, that's when they went to the... Well, I don't remember what the hell. I don't remember the order of everything. But there's so many great scenes. Like the part where he's stuffing the bananas and the tailpipe. I love so much about this movie. There's so many great scenes. I honestly don't think I can pick a favorite scene from this movie. I couldn't do it. Just cannot do it. Loved Judge Reinhold as Billy, especially that one part where he is, they're getting, him and Taggart are getting shot at, and, he jumps up and he goes, "Freeze, police, everybody drop your weapons," and of course they shoot more, and then Taggart tells him, he goes, "Well, if you do that again, I'm going to shoot you myself." It's hilarious, just absolutely great, great comedy. This movie feels like it should be higher up on the list. It really does. I don't know about its placement of 101, but I think it should be higher up. I just loved what Eddie Murphy was giving us around, early to mid-late 80s. And, he was just, whatever he touched was turning to gold. You had to have respect for that. I guess the only thing that I would argue against what Eddie did was when he tried to be a singer with Party All the Time. That was probably a bad move. I don't know. I don't see it, Eddie. Nice try. Good job for getting Rick James in there. And I'm sure that, Rick probably said, "Oh, Eddie, you want to sing a song? Let me help you." And there might be other people that really dig the vocal musical talents of Eddie Murphy. I'm just not one of those guys. I like to make fun of that song more than actually hear it. For fun, I could actually edit it in to the podcast here, but I'm not going to. No, I'm not going to do that. Because what I try to do is I try to find a song from the soundtrack put on the back of the episode, and I'm going to reserve the music for that. And there's so many iconic songs from the soundtrack here too, so I got to figure out which one I'm going to put in there. Let's see, what else can I talk about with this movie? Um, Wow, just drew a blank. I had so many great things, like, you know, when he had gotten tossed out of the window at Victor Maitland's, and then he was like, when he's getting hauled away by the police, and he was talking about how clean the police car was and how polite everybody was at the police station. Yeah, all that was just really, you know, it's iconic. Even when Axel Foley first gets to Beverly Hills and he sees those guys dressed as like Michael Jackson, and he starts doing his Eddie Murphy laugh. That I might edit in here. I can find Eddie Murphy's laugh and edit that in here.
Jesus Christ!
But yeah, there's a lot of great scenes. You know what I'll do? What I will edit in is there was a part where when Eddie was talking about the guys being super cops, and I thought that was a fun story where, you know, at the end of it, he asked Taggart, he goes, "Is this what happened?" And he's like, "No, sir." And then he tells him the real story, and he goes, and then Eddie or Axel Foley later on says, you know, by the way, he's buying the super cop story. You guys just, you know, fucked up a completely good lie. I'm trying to figure you guys out. I'm trying. But anyway, I'll edit that in here so that it's his delivery, not mine.
Taggart, would you mind explaining to me what you and Rosewood were doing in a strip bar out of our jurisdiction when you were still on duty?
Sir, before you chastise these two officers, I think it's something you should know. The only reason that they were at a strip bar is because they were tailing me and I went to this place. Now, these two officers were sitting outside wondering what I was doing. I wasn't having a good time. I'm into things like that. Anyway, these guys waited outside, and the only reason that they came in was because they saw two suspicious-looking gentlemen with bulges in their jackets going into the place. Well, it turns out that these guys were going to commit a robbery, sir. These men watched them, waited for them to make their move, and then they foiled a crime. I did not know what was going on. I was watching the show having fun. I'm still freaked out by it. You must have a sixth sense. I don't know what you teach these fellows, but they're not just regular cops, okay? They're super cops. And the only thing missing on these guys are capes.
Is this what really happened?
No, sir.
Would someone like to tell me what really happened?
Well, Foley invited us to this bar. We accepted.
We ordered club soda, sir.
Right. And while we were there, Foley observed the two suspects casing the establishment. And before we knew what was going on, he'd already disarmed one of them. Detective Foley deserves all the credit for the arrest, sir.
Detective Foley, we appreciate your assistance, but in the future, if you want to practice law enforcement, I would prefer you did it in Detroit.
I understand, sir. I'm sorry. But before I go, I just want you two to know something, all right? That the super cop story was working, okay? It was working, and you guys just messed it up, okay? I'm trying to figure you guys out, but I haven't yet. But it's cool. It's a fuck up, perfectly good lie, and it's all right.
So yeah, for me, this is definitely an essential movie. Highly, highly, highly recommend. I honestly could watch it over and over again and not be tired of it. So if I do come across it, see it, that it's available to rewatch, I might hit play. I very well could. Alright, so this is the part where I am going to remind everybody that we have a website out there. That's BanzaiRetroClub.com, BanzaiRetroClub. Go out there, and there is a visual guide on the blog to our Essential Movies podcast. So if you don't feel like scrolling through our podcast listing at the different movie titles and you'd rather just look at the posters, go to the blogs, look for the Essential Movie Visual Guide entry, and you'll see the movie posters. And when you click on that, you'll go right to the link for the podcast to listen to it. So hopefully that is something that you guys will enjoy and take a look at. Other things that you can do on the website is you can go through to our Twitter link, our Tumblr link, our Instagram, our Facebook. Feel free to go through all of that stuff and follow as appropriate. And then I'll also, if you want to shoot us an email with any kind of commentary, that's McFly@BonsaiRetroClub.com. And with all that, I do want to remind you all to be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye-bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 On the next episode, we're going to be talking about 1987's The Lost Boys.
Please.
Heat is on.